Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
Hitting a giant where it hurts.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. European regulators have slapped Microsoft with a $1.3 billion fine. The company is accused of failing to obey an antitrust order that's 4 years old. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Even for Microsoft, this is an eye-watering penalty, the largest ever in Europe. It comes on top of a series of earlier fines. The total is now more than $2.5 billion. Most of that's for defying the European Commission's original ruling in 2004. The case concerns software that operates groups of printers for small businesses. The Commission ordered Microsoft to open up its operating system to allow rival companies to develop that software. Microsoft said it would only do so for large royalties. The Commission said that was unreasonable. Last week, Microsoft promised to give its rivals greater access to its codes, but that pledge will have no effect on today's fine or on two other EU investigations that are underway. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Fed Chair Bernanke will testify to the House Financial Services Committee this morning. Speculation is Mr. Bernanke will say the Fed is ready to cut interest rates again to prop up the economy. Problem is, these rate cuts have been undermining our currency. The dollar dropped to a record low against the euro this morning. It'll take you $1.50 to get a euro. European stock markets are down at this hour, but Asian markets were up overnight. Japan's Nikkei picked up 1.5%. The market in Hong Kong gained more than 3%. To India, where Defense Secretary Robert Gates is wrapping up a two-day visit. Part of his trip has been about drumming up business for U.S. military and nuclear suppliers. 2 years ago, India bought $6 billion worth of defense equipment, mostly from Russia. Now the U.S. is trying to become the primary source. Let's go to Delhi and bring in Mehul Srivastava. He's a business reporter at the news publication Mint. Mehul, what is the secretary trying to achieve?
Well, Defense Secretary Gates' visit over here in India, it revolves around two specific issues. One is a still pending agreement between the Indians and the Americans to sign a nuclear deal. And the second is an upcoming contract for about $10 billion for the Indians to buy about 126 fighter jets that they need to put in the Air Force. Now, the American companies that are in the running for the fighter jet are Boeing Company and Lockheed Martin. But they're competing with the Russians and with two European companies that also make similar fighter jets.
Now, in terms of the nuclear deal, how close are they on an agreement?
You know, the agreement's basically been stalled on the Indian side. The agreement is a complex one because India never signed the non-proliferation treaty. American companies and European companies, for that matter, are blocked from doing business with the Indian nuclear establishment. President Bush came up with the 1-2-3 agreement, which is what it's called right now, in which in exchange for allowing international observers into the civilian nuclear plants in India, Indian companies would then be able to buy nuclear technology from American companies. But when this issue first came up, opposition to it was pretty severe.
In terms of what's at stake for American companies, do you have a sense of how big a piece of the pie we're talking about?
I mean, between the nuclear deal and the fact that the Indian military is buying a huge amount of equipment in the next 10 to 15 years, there could be close to $100 billion at play over here.
Mehul Srivastava is a reporter for the business publication Mint in Delhi. Mehul, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, working toward energy independence with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Middle East Reporting is supported by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org.
Later this morning, we'll get the numbers on new home sales for January. It's likely we'll see more evidence of a building industry still in the dumps. Just a year ago, this business was a gold mine, especially for Latino construction workers. Two out of every three new construction jobs were filled by Hispanics. Cities like Las Vegas, Phoenix, and Miami became meccas for tens of thousands of recently arrived immigrants. So how are they biding their time these days? From the America's Desk at WLRN in Miami, we sent Marketplace's Dan Gretsch to find out.
At its height, the construction industry employed one in four Hispanic workers. That's 3 million people with well-paying jobs. 3 million families that could, for perhaps the first time, aspire to some middle-class comforts. What a difference a year makes. Rakesh Kocher is a researcher with the Pew Hispanic Center.
The construction sector went from being a leading contributor to employment growth to a leading source of unemployment. Whatever gains they had appear to have been wiped away in the space of this past year.
Homestead is a sprawling bedroom community near Miami. When the economy was healthy, Homestead was the fastest growing city of its size in the nation and a magnet for Hispanic laborers. Now it's a way station for ex-construction workers like Tomas Diaz.
Lo mío, mi trabajo es construcción.
Diaz laid floors and built roofs for $14 an hour, enough to get married and start a family. Now he cuts lawns for $8 an hour.
I don't know what to do with all these bills that keep coming month after month. You start to think, do I pay this bill or do I buy food?
Many ex-construction workers in Homestead have turned to farm work. Others are day laborers or landscapers. Hector Salas manages a rundown apartment building. He spent a recent morning trying to salvage some old electric coil ovens. The building once teemed with workers. Now it's almost empty. Jonathan Freed runs We Count, a Homestead community organization.
People need to move to survive, and if they don't find work here, they're going to move elsewhere.
Pew's Rakesh Kocher says some Hispanics are getting a new start.
One small surprise is the growth of Hispanic employment in education and health services, more white-collar work.
Kocher says Hispanics often work the lowest-paying jobs in those industries. Still, there are opportunities to move up. In Homestead, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.